Greetings to my fellow Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Jamie Pauls. It's been a while since I've posted to the podcast, but I have been busy, and I'd like to talk to you about what I've been doing. I have released the first ever Access Watch tutorial. Now, that's something I've been wanting to do for quite some time, is to get into the low-cost tutorial market. And I mean something that really doesn't cost a lot of money for people to purchase, but something that, you know, they can benefit from. My problem was that I just couldn't find the topic that I thought was really worth discussing. I didn't want to just do, you know, how to check email in Outlook Express or something like that, that I'm assuming most people are going to know how to do, and that it wouldn't be very hard to learn how to do. So I didn't want to just throw something out there just to make a little money. So, in searching around, I finally found a passion of mine and something that I felt maybe I had a little something to offer, which is the topic of using the Rhapsody music subscription service. Now, for those of you who don't know, Rhapsody is a service by which you can listen to music on the internet, purchase tracks legally, and burn them to CD in many cases. Well, in all cases, if you've purchased them. Now, for years, you know, we've known about the illegal file sharing services. Napster in its heyday was, you know, awesome, to be honest with you. And I didn't use it a lot, but a little bit. That was before the courts just absolutely said that's not legal and you can't do it, and if you do it, you're going to get in trouble. So, but you could find anything you wanted to on Napster. Now, the quality was questionable, which is one of the reasons why I have to wonder if the record industry didn't overreact just a little bit, because you never got CD quality tracks. That was my experience anyway. So, but that's probably a discussion for another time. But since that time, there have been several services, Napster included. Walmart.com is another one. But one that's really highly rated and spoken very well of by magazines such as PC World is Rhapsody. And it's a subsidiary of Real Networks. And as I said, you are able to listen to music on the net, you're able to stream it, or you're able to download tracks to your hard drive and burn them to CD. Now, Rhapsody comes in several different flavors, a couple that are important to us, I think. One is a free account, which allows you to listen to 25 tracks a month. And that's a pretty good deal, actually. You can do quite a bit of listening, assuming that you don't want to listen to whole albums. Now, that's not to say that you can't listen to whole albums, because you certainly can. I'm just referring to how many of your allotted tracks you would eat up by listening to full albums on that 25 a month deal. If you just want to pick and choose things, then that's a pretty good deal. Now, you can't find the Beatles. I don't think you can find the Beatles on any subscription music service. And there may be other things you can't find, but it's been my experience that Rhapsody, along with, quite honestly, most of the other legal subscription-based or purchase services, has a pretty good catalog. I think they all have basically the same material from the major artists. Now, there are some sites that will have a lot of independent artists and things that perhaps you've not heard of, but definitely Rhapsody is one of those that has the main artists. You can find Billy Joel or Mannheim Steamroller or Randy Travis or John Jarvis, if you don't know who that is. He's a piano player that does some country, jazz, basically a lot of stuff. So there's a lot that you can, a lot of mainstream artists that you can access. You can also, for the $14, I believe it's $12.99 a month, actually, you can listen unlimited. You can listen anything you want to. And then for 89 cents a track, you can buy tracks for burning. If you have the free account, you can also buy tracks. I think it's 99 cents. There's another account that you can have, which I believe is $14.99 a month, by which you can then transfer to MP3 players, or actually, they're not MP3s, they're .rax files. That's real players' files, protected format. And there are certain players that allow you to transfer music. I have not found that. Well, I don't know whether it's accessible or not, because I haven't played with it. But regardless, I chose to focus on, in my tutorial, the unlimited account, the $12.99 a month. I find that Rhapsody is one of those programs that really shows off the strengths of both of the major screen readers, JAWS and WindowEyes. I haven't played with it with system access, to be honest. With JAWS, there are some free scripts you can download, which make the program quite a bit more accessible than it might otherwise be. You, however, are still unable to access some areas with JAWS that you can with WindowEyes. I find it to be quite accessible with WindowEyes as long as you're willing to use some pretty serious mouse movement commands. Now, there are two interfaces with Rhapsody. One is a desktop application. The main advantage to that I can see is that you have a little bit more control over things like volume of the track that you're listening to, whether to skip forward and backward through tracks that you have chosen to listen to, and also buying tracks. You can use the web interface quite nicely if all you want to do is listen to material online, and that is as accessible as any web page should be. Few links that maybe aren't quite as, that don't have the alt text associated with them, but you can figure out what they are pretty easily. So, definitely pretty usable service. Now, I have found that, at least in my experience, version 3.1 of the program is more speech-friendly. In fact, I couldn't get version 4.0 to work at all on my system. I've had some major problems with not being able to update the digital rights management. I'm using Windows XP Home. About 3 calls to real networks, which was extremely frustrating, which is a topic in and of itself. All the calls are outsourced, and I certainly have no problem with that if people have a good grasp of my language, but in my case, none of the 3 people that I spoke with did, and they read off the internet and basically did the same things I had already tried, with not any better results. But when I actually did manage to, for a short time, get 4.0 to work, I didn't find it to be very speech-friendly at all. So my review focuses, or my tutorial rather, focuses on version 3.1 of the program. I also take you to Chris Nestrid's website where you can download the free JAWS scripts for Rhapsody. One of the nice things about the tutorial is that I do quite a bit of demonstrating, a lot of demonstrating with WindowEyes, and some demonstrating with JAWS. Even if you use one screen reader exclusively, I think you'll find that the demonstrations by both screen readers is actually rather instructive and is somewhat helpful. You perhaps get a little better picture of the program than you might if you used either of the screen readers by themselves. One of the things that really made me decide to go ahead and do this tutorial, and that really kind of pushed me over the edge, is that in my experimenting with with RealPlayer version 11 beta, I found that it was actually possible, with a little bit of finagling, to use RealPlayer's library to burn CDs, or burn tracks to CD. The tutorial is 8 MP3 files, which total some 82 minutes of listening. And I'm using PayPal. I have a Buy Now button on my accesswatch.info website that will purchase the tutorial, or allow you to purchase the tutorial, and should then take you to a download link. Now, I've had one person who had some trouble with this. I just got an email today, Sunday, the 26th of August, that informed me that Libsyn was having some difficulties, which is where I'm storing my file right now, until I can figure out a little more web space, and I'm going to be working on that in the future as well. But everything looks, the code looks fine on my Access Watch site. I was offering an email link with some emails that I've sent to some email lists advertising the tutorial. I don't know if this person was using the email link or if he went directly to Access Watch. So I'm not going to offer that email link for a while until I can troubleshoot and see how things work out. So I'm just going to invite you to go to my website, accesswatch.info, move on down to the tutorials section. Everything is divided up into headings on my site. Then the next heading is Access Watch Tutorials, and the next one is the Rhapsody tutorial. You can read about it, you can look at the table of contents, and then you can click on that Buy Now button, and it will, of course, take you to the PayPal site where the amount's already filled in. The tutorial is $9.95. This is a first effort. I'm not a seasoned tutorial developer, don't claim to be, but I think it's a pretty decent first effort. Here's another good deal. You get updates to my tutorial for the life of the tutorial. In other words, as long as I am able to learn anything new about Rhapsody and it's worth submitting to you, I will keep a written record of everyone who purchases my tutorial, and I will also maintain a distribution list, a private announce only distribution list on my computer in Outlook Express to send information to all of my subscribers to the tutorial on updates that are available, and I'll give you a link to download the update. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a cushion too, in that where I realize that maybe there are some areas of weakness, as I hear constructive criticism from my listeners, I'm going to be challenged to go ahead and maybe correct some things, add some things, and make it a little better. I'm just going to tell you up front, and there's no need in hiding it, that the tutorial is not copy protected. I've visited with Jonathan Mosen a little bit about that. I know that his tutorials were not copy protected. I realize that opened you up quite a bit to anyone who wants to just pass them around. You know, I mean, the deal is if I sell two tutorials and don't ever sell any more, then obviously I'm not going to be, you know, highly motivated to create a lot more. If I'm able to see some results, then I'm going to be encouraged and probably produce some other things. And as I, you know, gain some experience and look at some other options, I may eventually be able to strengthen my security measures a little bit if I feel the need to do that. I think the idea of paying for a tutorial is, you know, there are a lot of free tutorials out there, and I admire people who do free work. And really, that's what Blind Cool Tech, the podcast, is all about. I mean, it really is. I think the idea of charging for a low-cost tutorial is that it allows a person to, number one, perhaps put a little more effort, a little more work into it than they might otherwise do. If it's a free, spur-of-the-moment podcast, then there's going to be a lot of stops and starts and a lot of gaps and a lot of things that aren't really explained as thoroughly as they might be. And there's not going to be that motivation to perhaps continue the update process and give people more information. If a person can make a little money, a little extra cash with a well-produced tutorial, then it's going to ensure a high-quality product, and it's also going to give a person, the producer, a little bit of cash to maybe, you know, experiment and purchase some other products. And I mean, I have lots of ideas of things that I think it would be fun to do if I had the finances to purchase some products. Another reason I think audio tutorials are good is because, you know, sighted people have flash content all the time. You stop and think about the websites that you've visited, the products that you've purchased, and there's the link that says, take this interactive tutorial. Now, obviously, those are free. You know, if you want, you go out and buy the Video Professor DVDs. I don't know how accessible those would be to a blind person. I'm assuming not terribly. But so I think that sighted people probably have a lot more help content and tutorial type information than maybe we blind people even realize. So we can certainly read help manuals. We can certainly read text files and other documents, PDF files. And I do a lot of that. I'm a manual reader, I don't mind telling you. But there are times when I get a new product, I can remember as a matter of fact, whenever I purchased my book port, it was Larry's original files on using the book port that caused me to be interested in it. And it was listening to it being demonstrated and understanding how some things worked. I remember listening to an Infotech magazine by Brian Hartgen, where he talked about using the Windows volume control and how to set things up for playback and recording. And I had poked around in there for a long time and was on the right track, but there were just some things I was missing. And I remember just being blown away by his little short presentation on using the Windows volume control. And I emailed him and thanked him for that. So, Dean Martineau is another excellent example of someone who has produced some very low-cost options for learning. So I've had some good role models, if I can use that analogy or that term. I've purchased my share of tutorials, honestly. Probably spent more money on them than I should have over the years, but, you know, that's the way that is. And so I kind of know what I would expect in a tutorial, what I would want to gain. As I was reviewing my own submission, my own effort, I think I could have spent the next year and a half making it better and redoing it about 17 times and probably wouldn't have been totally happy with it. So, you know, am I guaranteeing you that this is the absolute most incredible product that you've ever listened to and that you'll use my tutorial as the model by which you will judge others? Probably not. Will it get you up and running with Rhapsody if you're so interested in that sort of thing, and perhaps give you some pointers as to where to look to learn some other things about the program? Absolutely. Is it going to break the bank? Probably not. If you can squeeze out $9.95, then I think that's going to be well worth the money. Some things I don't cover in the tutorial. I have looked a little bit at the library in Rhapsody. I haven't found it to be terribly useful. You have to use those mouse movement commands, and therefore moving files around, and, you know, I mean, you can double-click files and play them and that sort of thing, but Rhapsody gives you the most recently played tracks that you've listened to, and I've found that to be pretty helpful. Creating playlists in Rhapsody is something else that I have looked at just a little bit but haven't had a lot of success with. I will continue to look at those areas, however, a little more, and if I'm able to learn some things, then I will certainly pass that information along to my tutorial purchasers. Another area that I've not looked at all at this point in the program is the radio station guide. I just haven't chosen to do that up to this point, but that's something else I will look at in the future. Now, you could ask the question, okay, why are you releasing a tutorial if you know there are some major areas of the program that you haven't looked at? I think it's because my goal, my aim, was to present blind people with a legal way of listening to tracks on the internet, purchasing tracks, and putting them on CD, something that sighted people do all the time, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's really a bad thing that the most accessible options have been the illegal options. I don't think that excuses us using the illegal options. I don't think that that gives us a right to do that, but it's been my experience that, I mean, those file sharing programs were pretty easy to use. And once you had an MP3 that was yours to do with as you wanted, then you could use whatever program of choice that you used to put them on CD. My favorite story about the old Napster was that the nursing home where I worked at did a 12 months of themes for their activity. And of course, I was a music therapist, and so the first month was Space Month. So I literally went through on Napster, found every track having to do with the moon, stars, space, you know, and burned a CD for each of the departments. Probably shouldn't tell that story. But there again, I don't know that it was so expressly decided that, that was illegal at that point. I think it was still a little bit questionable. I was never one of those people that downloaded 1,000 tracks a month. But there was no way I could have possibly went out and bought all the CDs for all of those tracks that I burned for the nursing home. Today, I could at least purchase for 89 cents a track the songs that I wanted and have, for the price of an album, tracks that I could, you know, burn and use at the nursing home. You can also purchase albums on Rhapsody, full albums, and I actually demonstrate that as well, purchasing an album, which is no different than buying a track. But anyway, I digress a little bit. So I believe that I actually covered the scope of what I wanted to cover in this tutorial, and it also gives me some room to expand and to enlarge on my topic. So I wanted to present this information to you, let you know it's out there. Again, that's www.accesswatch.info. Move on down to the Rhapsody tutorial heading and read the information. And if you're interested, go ahead and click on that button. And certainly, if you have difficulties, let me know, and I will be more than happy to provide you the file. I'll make sure you get it, trust me. You might go ahead and forward the proof of purchase from PayPal. Interestingly, in the case of the person who didn't get the file, I actually didn't get the email that I should have gotten from PayPal stating that there had been a purchase, but I was able to verify that that had been the case, and he also sent me the proof of purchase. So hopefully that was just a little fluke, a little glitch. But there again, like I say, I'm going to be right there with you, and I guarantee you'll get the file in short order. So I trust that it will be as easy as just clicking on that download link. So if you're interested, check it out, give it a try. Contact me. My email address, I got a couple or three, but we'll just give you the easiest one. Jamie Pauls, that's JamiePauls at gmail.com. If you have any questions or have any problems, feel free to contact me. And until next time, happy listening.